I invite you all to please join me in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter. We are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I want to draw your attention to one of the building stones in this picture. And I know if there's anyone here who's watching this on Facebook, I'm sorry you can't see the picture, but I'll try to paint a word picture for you. If you look behind me, do you see that great big stone that's just above where the woman is standing? It's huge. And it goes off through both ends of the picture. That stone is called the Western Stone. It is approximately 44 feet long, about 10 feet high, and about 9 feet deep. This stone is basically a little bit longer than a school bus, about the same height and width as a school bus, and a whole lot heavier than a school bus. The archaeologists estimate that this stone is 500 tons. In other words, it's a really, really big rock. It's one of the biggest cut stones that's used in any building in the world. It is not the biggest, but it's one of them. And it's so big, it is called the Western Stone. It has its own name. And this stone is really cool as far as I'm concerned. Because this stone is located on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And though nowadays they had to dig a tunnel to find it, in Jesus' day you would have been able to walk past the Temple Mount and see it. And it's almost certain that Jesus saw this stone many times, as did Jesus' apostles, as did the women who followed Jesus, like his mother Mary or Mary Magdalene. This stone is on the west side of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and it was placed there maybe 20 years before Jesus was born. That's not exact. We're not sure exactly when it was placed, but that's in the ballpark. So well was this stone and were the other stones of the foundation of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem placed that despite freezing, and yes, there is a little bit of freezing in Jerusalem, and there used to be even more in times past, despite freezing and thawing of 2,000 winters, despite war after war after war and the explosions and the fires that went with them, despite the fact that the buildings on top of the Temple Mount have sadly been burned down more than once, despite many earthquakes over the centuries, these stones fit together so tightly, despite the fact that this stone was even buried for more than 1,000 years in rubble, the stones fit together so tightly you cannot slide a sheet of paper between the cracks. And this stone in Jerusalem is only one example of many stones from the ancient world that were laid by ancient builders securely and soundly that have withstood weather and earthquakes and fires and the ravages of time, sometimes more than 4,000 years, and yet they still fit together perfectly. And I only chose this picture because I think it's just so darn cool that Jesus probably actually saw this stone. There's a principle of building that was true in Jesus' time and that's still true today. If you build the foundation well, if you carefully set the foundation, ideally on good, solid bedrock, a building can show remarkable strength and can last for a long, long time and can withstand great stress. Though the way we build buildings is, of course, very different than in Jesus' time, and the tools we use are very different than in Jesus' time, well-cut stones placed on a solid footing are still the foundation of many a strong building, and they can last for a long, long time. And we have also all probably seen cheaply built buildings that were not carefully built as well. Not built on a good solid foundation, or not good with a good foundation poured or laid, not using quality materials, and such buildings and structures don't last. And tragically, this week in our own country, down in Florida, we saw the consequences of trying to build a bridge when you cut corners and when you literally ignore the cracks that are forming. Even in Jesus' time, there were carelessly built buildings. Not every building was built with the kind of skill that it took to lay this stone that was in the temple. For all the examples like the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, there were buildings that people threw up hastily. They didn't site well. They didn't use good quality materials. And when the floods came or the earthquakes came, they fell, often taking the lives of innocent people with them. There are some places in the world where we can see fantastically old buildings, but the reason a lot of buildings are gone is that they weren't built to last. Just as in our world today, sometimes people don't show very good quality in their structures, the same was true in Jesus' day. Similarly, in our world today, you might see a house that sure looks good from the outside, but even though it's only 8 or 10 or 12 years old, it wasn't built well, and the cracks are starting to form in the walls and the ceiling and the roof leaks, often because the foundation wasn't sited correctly. Jesus takes this example, an example that people of his time could understand, an example we can still understand. Jesus is comparing buildings and structures to human lives. Just as a building or a structure must have a good, strong foundation, so do our lives need to have a good foundation. A foundation in God and in following Jesus' teachings. It is easy to say that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. However, the question is, do we actually live that way? Do we actually follow the teachings of Jesus Christ? Are we conscientious, true disciples who day by day try to ground all of our decisions in what Jesus taught us? These past several weeks of Lent, we've looked at some of what Jesus teaches us about the love of God and the fact that God invites us all into a loving relationship. And we've also talked a lot about how God invites and teaches us to love each other. But we have only scratched the surface. We've only got an hour each week on Sunday. You can't truly understand all the depths of Jesus' teachings in 1 hour a week. If we seek to claim the name Christian, if we want to literally take Christ into the name that we call ourselves, we need to consider, are we living how Christ taught us to live? To be a disciple means putting all aspects of our lives grounded in the foundation of God's love and in what God taught us through Jesus Christ about how we are to live and teach each other. Are we built on that bedrock of God's love and Christ's teachings? Jesus says that if we follow his teachings, if we build our lives in God's love and we follow what Jesus taught us to do, our lives will be strong and they will stand up to the floods of life. Far too often, and I fell in this trap a lot, particularly in my late teenage years, far too often people say, oh, well, if somebody's right with God, they won't have any problems, right? Wrong. The most faithful, devoted, wonderful, blessed followers of Jesus Christ ever still catch colds now and again. They still stub and break their toes now and again. They still lose the people that they love to death and grieve that now and again. The most faithful followers of Jesus Christ will have floods in their lives. And sometimes we will even be troubled in our hearts because in those moments of being troubled, God is inviting us to take another step of faith, another step in maturity of faith, sometimes to be called to address some problem either in our lives or in the wider world. The simple fact of the matter is there will be floods in life because that's what it means to live in this world. But Jesus promises us if you build the foundation of your life on the bedrock of God's love and what Jesus teaches, no flood, no matter how high the water, no matter how powerful the flow of the stream, will destroy you. God will give us the strength to face life. And when the flood is over, God will give us the strength to clean out the mud and to pump out the water, and the structure of our lives will be just as strong and sturdy as it was before the waters rose. Jesus invites us to build our lives fully and wholly on and in God and what Jesus teaches us about how God wants us to live with each other. And this foundation will hold. Other foundations won't. I can tell you from experience, they don't work. For instance, when I was younger, I'd gotten it in my head that if I could just find the right person to love for the rest of my life, all my problems would be over. Yeah, that doesn't work that way. No one, even the most loving life partner, can take the place of God in our lives. Trying to build your whole life around your beloved won't work. There will be cracks and there will be gaps, and it won't stand up to the floods of life. To find love is a wonderful thing, but a person should not be our entire world. Only God can be the center of our world. And families can be a blessing beyond compare, but likewise, even the people in loving families cannot be our sole foundation. The most loving parents, the most wonderful children, the most devoted siblings cannot take the place of God in our lives. I've seen people who built their lives and their relationship with their parents, and then suddenly one of their parents was gone and their life disintegrated. I saw it happen to some of my fellow students when I was in college. I've seen people who make their whole world about their children, and eventually their children say, "I can't fix your problems for you. I can't be your whole world. That is not healthy for me or for you." I've seen a person, one of the elders in my family, who built her entire life around caring for her siblings and caring for her nieces and nephews. And then suddenly she was the last of eight, and that was sad. But in her depression and in losing all that she had built her life around, she did not know how to function. She did not know how to cope. She became suspicious and bitter. And this person whose life had shown so much love to three generations of my extended family died with a heart full of bitterness instead of love. I've seen people try to build their lives on material possessions. They make money. They think that they can buy the good things in life. They want the best house, they want the most beautiful car, they want the largest bank account. None of those material things can offer unconditional love and support. Jesus warns us that trying to build our lives on material things won't work, that the pleasures will ring hollow. Or maybe I'll just put it the way the Beatles did. I don't care that much for money. Money can't buy me love. Some of you all know the song. You know what I'm talking about. And for those of you that don't, learn the Beatles, even if they were from before you were born. We could even try to build our lives on friendships, and a good, devoted friend is one of God's greatest gifts to us, but it's just like all the other things. No person can be God for us. And if we try to make them God, it won't work. And sometimes people try to build their lives on things that aren't relationships. They'll build their lives on patriotism or political ideology or the arts or the music or their pets or their intellect. At one point in my life, I thought I was supposed to be able to know all the answers. People had told me I was smart, and I thought I was supposed to know all the answers, and boy, was I wrong. You can't think your way through every problem. Sometimes you just need faith that God's love is there. And I've seen people try to put political ideology or patriotism or sadly nationalism at the center of their lives and hurt themselves. And sometimes they hurt others. That's led to an awful lot of suffering in this world. Art and music and friends and family and great ideas and civic involvement and all these things are wonderful. And they all have a role to play in the wall that makes up our lives. But they cannot be the foundation, because if we make them the foundation instead of God, everything will crumble. The greatest ideas, the most beautiful art, the most profound relationships with others come from grounding our lives in God. It's an odd thing, but do you really want to love the people in your life that you love the best of your ability? Love God more, and God will show you how you can love your beloved or your children or your family or your friends greater than you could ever love them on just your own efforts.
Amen.
Thank you. Jesus offers us a life that is completely transformed, completely grounded in the love of God. And Jesus promises us that if we invest in that relationship with God, we will be able to love others. And God will never abandon us. That hymn of preparation, I love that last verse where it says, though all the powers of hell endeavor to shake, God says, I will never, no, never, no, never forsake. Now, here's the thing. In a real building, you kind of got to get it right the first time with the foundation. You know what happens if you don't? Look up a picture of the Leaning Tower of Pisa on the internet. It's a beautiful building, but they didn't get it right the first time, and though they've been trying for 700 years, they haven't figured out how to fix it either. Well, here's the thing. God is a lot more forgiving than stones and glass and wood and steel. God knows that we will not get it perfect the first try, and God does not give up on us. God continues to show us grace and mercy. God continues to help us make the foundation more secure each and every day of our lives. I would love to say I've got my life completely and totally grounded in God, but I really shouldn't lie to you all. I've got room for improvement. God's grace calls us all to improve, to make the foundation more solid, whether we just started building our lives in God or we've been building for a long time. The key is trusting, dare I say, go all in with Jesus. And that takes time, and it takes a lifetime to absorb what Jesus taught us. It takes a lifetime to learn to be in tune with Jesus Christ. We need to take time to read the scriptures. We need to take time to pray. We need to take time to speak with other people of faith and to listen to their stories of faith and to have them build us up and we build them up as well. And we won't ever get it all perfect except maybe for brief moments and glimpses in our lives. But God is loving and God is there to guide us and God is more wonderful than even the most wonderful human relationship can possibly be. And God offers us a blessed life. I've tried other foundations in this life. Don't go there. They ain't good. Things crack. I bet a lot of you have probably tried some other foundations in your life. And we could probably have some stories to tell if we went around this room of how things cracked. But I invite you to put your foundation on the living bedrock of our loving God and on the teachings that Jesus Christ offered us about how we can love each other. And if we do, we will know a blessing more profound than any we can imagine, and we will be able to be a blessing to those in a way we never could be on our own. So let's build on the bedrock together, claiming the name that Jesus offers us, Christian, and guided by God's love. May it be so, in Jesus' name. Amen.